Welcome to Pixar Planet's fan commentary on WALL-E. This is the second group. I am Andre, also known as the Drive-In Theater.
Hello everyone, I'm Acting.
Hello, this is Rachel, also known as Rachel Cakes 1985.
And this is Peter, also known as Quicks Next to Me. In order to synchronize this commentary with your DVD, press play and pause the movie when Luxor Jr. appears in the Pixar logo. And when I say play, click play. Okay. 3, 2, 1, play.
Here we go. So, as the first question I'd like to ask you, has anyone underestimated WALL-E before watching it? Because, as for me personally, I underestimated this. I thought it would be just a regular cartoon. Nothing too interesting, and even before WALL-E, I haven't known anything about Pixar.
Seriously?
Hello?
Well, I didn't really underestimate it. I was kind of like really anticipating it, really, and it certainly met my expectations. So I was really looking forward to it, actually.
Because all we know that Pixar's promos and trailers, they don't have any overview of the movie.
They make bad trailers.
Rachel?
Well, well, I've been a Pixar fan for a couple of years, so I already knew well in advance that WALL-E was coming out, but as for what I thought the movie was going to be like, I don't even remember, really. But I knew it was going to be good because I read reviews and everything and read on the internet how well it was doing well critically overseas. So I don't think I underestimated or overestimated it because I didn't really try to think about, what it would be like too much, because otherwise you end up disappointed if it's not that good, but I knew it was going to be good anyway.
Even now I underestimate Up for some reason. I don't know why, but I'm not expecting too much from Up.
Not am I really, but I'm nevertheless still quite excited for it, I guess.
The beginning of the movie, it's really creepy.
Yeah.
Heaps of trash. For the first time, I didn't realize that this was about our Earth. Although the Earth appeared in the beginning, but... So, this movie, it reflected everything just as I imagined it before. Because I know that sometimes if we don't stop, it will come to this scene we see now.
Yeah, it's a bit of a window into the future, an exaggerated example of what things could be like if we continue on the way we are. And I think that was Andrew Stanton's intention. I'm not sure if it will get to the point where we need trash compacting robots, but still, I think it hits. I think the reason why this is this first opening section has so much impact is because, first of all, it's a Pixar film, and you don't expect this level of depth when you go to see a Pixar film, and also because it hits a bit close to home, the message.
But has anyone listened to the Andrew Stanton's commentary on the film? I remember him saying that he wasn't going to place any message or something like that, or maybe I'm wrong.
I think that Andrew Stanton said that any messages in the movie were there just to support the love story. And any environmental message was just secondary to that.
Depends on the people who watch it, and we always see the problems which are familiar to us, which we are not indifferent to. I'm not indifferent to environmental problems, that's why I notice it immediately.
Yeah, I think with a lot of Pixar films, you can take what you want out of it, and it is an environmental film, but at its core, and running all the way through it, supporting it, it's a love story. So if you watch it and you're a romantic, then you'll take away the love story, but if you're a bit more of a critical thinker, you'll take away the environmental message. But I think, Andrew Stanton was aiming to just make a love story about a robot and a lonely robot, so.
Is love present in all of the Pixar films? As far as I remember, in each Pixar film there was some love story. More vivid, less vivid, but it was.
I think the only movies that I can think of that don't really have a love story is Toy Story and Monsters, Inc. And, oh, yeah, probably Finding Nemo, too. I guess Wall-E is the first real love story by Pixar.
Yeah, but there were Linguini and Colette, then Sally and McQueen, then even in Toy Story there was something, and in Monsters Incorporated. And some...
Yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think this is pretty much their first, like, feature-length romantic comedy or something.
What?
It's probably, like, their first actual romantic comedy, because the rest were more of, like, I guess... Action adventure-ish, you know, so...
What is a romantic comedy? Wall-E is a romantic comedy.
Yeah, I sort of it as that.
Ask me, Wall-E isn't a comedy, but I could just misunderstand you. Or are you talking about Hello Dolly, which is now on screen?
Oh, no. I mean, there are some comedic aspects in Wall-E. It was known that Mr. Stanton and his team watched like practically every Charlie Chaplin movie and Buster Keaton film to sort of like get the pantomime elements in. But like you guys, I sort of like think of Wall-E as more of a love story than an environmental cautionary tale, I guess.
I'm not remember myself laughing at Wall-E when I first watched it. When I showed it to my classmates, they laughed at it because there were some hilarious parts. But overall, for me, it's very serious. It's the first serious cartoon I ever seen.
Yeah, I guess it's probably Pixar's most dramatic one.
Do any of you guys have a theory to exactly why Wall-E is the way he is? Why did he develop a personality but the other ones didn't, and the other ones died but Wall-E is still living?
So someone told that there could be some waves and some command to turn them off, but I don't think so, because there is a place where all dead Wall-Es are placed. So there is a junkyard for all of them. So I don't think that if it was just an occasional signal, they all were gathered to the one place afterwards. I think that As for me, I think that everyone forgot about him. He was somewhere away doing his job, and when they were turning Wallace, they forgot to turn him off.
So, you think it was just a case of, by and large, just forgetting that Wally was there then?
And another, so there is a lot of dust, and probably for some Wallace it was hard to remain alive for a long time. So, and this one, I don't know how he developed his personality, because he had to develop his personality in order to understand that he had to fix himself. I don't know. Well,
yeah.
This is a cartoon, and you have to enjoy it and not to think about different these things, because you become more you become a very severe critic if you pay your attention to such such little problems. I don't know. I don't like discussing some topics like does he climb upstairs or something like that. I don't know. It's just up to me. I like enjoying the movie, the good movie.
Well, okay, that's fair enough.
Now, this part, I don't understand why the plant was still alive, even though it was behind that refrigerator door.
There was no light there.
Yeah, I don't know if we learnt this in biology. What does a plant need to survive?
I don't know. It needs good soil and sun rays, but I think that it's just another symbol of that everything, every creature and even every plant wants to live, and this is a dramatic moment when Wally finds that plant.
Yeah, it's certainly got strong symbolism, because it's the only organic thing left on Earth, and I think that's why it catches Wally's attention so much, why he's intrigued by it so much. I suppose, yeah, that one baffles me quite a bit too, because it would have needed sunlight, and it seemed like a sealed fridge, so, yeah. This is one of my favourite moments, and one of my favourite pieces of music. It's just like, because it just changes a bit dramatically from fun to something's coming up on Wally, but he doesn't even know it.
That is a great moment, but how the Wally pursues that laser spot. I like it. And then, such a surprise.
Yeah, and I like how he tries to pick it up, but he's so surprised that it's not a physical object he can't pick up.
Yeah, I always thought of the laser guidance as like a supermarket scanner or something. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
Watching. I like that his trembling head. Just in this movie, the emotions, and I like how they make these emotions with their movements, with their motion and their expression, and I don't know, eyes. I was always fascinated by how they show emotions of the creatures through their eyes in the animated movies.
Well, I mean, face it, Wally is just a big pair of eyes on a box, so he And he does have a lot of expression. What I've always liked about Wally is how many limitations he has with his facial features, but how much expression he's got. But then again, the only real, I mean, Wally doesn't, I think he can, there's one moment where he doesn't look angry, but he looks defiant. And there's limitations to Wally, but there's also, there's only so much that he's needed to show during the movie, so those limitations don't really matter.
Yeah, I guess they were handicapped by the fact that, you know, the robots don't really have a face, I guess, so they can only show all the emotions through, like, their eyes. Eyes play a lot, like, play a real important role in this movie. You don't really have, like, a mouth or, you know, nose or anything, you know, smile.
And overall, in our everyday life, you can judge the person and his thoughts on, and her thoughts on her eyes. Just looking into someone's eyes, and this tells a lot more than a mouth can tell.
I also noticed that Wally's the only one of his kind who has his eyes sort of like bent into like a sad kind of look, like a puppy dog kind of look. Whereas all the other like normal Wally robots have their eyes lined straight, you know. So, oh, I guess.
Yes, his eyes have some special shape, but they can reproduce a lot of feelings.
Yeah, a lot of emotions.
He seems very, I don't know, even wiser. And
yeah.
Eve's eyes, they have some 50 or 60... 50 or 60 ways or shapes or how to say that. But that is enough to express the emotions. They are combined. So I can see that they worked a lot on making these emotions and on trying to show them.
From what I read, Andrew Stanton and Pixar worked on Wally's design for about a year alone. So,
do you think
that would explain
it's good that they decided to not to make knee elbows? So in the first editions, Wally had elbows, and do you think it's good that they replaced them? I think it's good.
Oh yeah.
It's a decision.
If you look at the have you guys seen the behind the scenes of Wally, I mean, on the DVD, and then it shows him with elbows, it's really funny.
Yeah, it looks kind of ugly, I guess, but
so that hidden movie, there was a hidden movie on the second disc.
I think
clip.
It's I don't think it was hidden, but it's somewhere, and it just shows what he would have looked like with elbows, and he just looks really goofy, and you can't really take him seriously. But try to look for it if you can.
And do you remember the clip, the evolution of the humans? And I'm very glad that they decided to make up their minds and to make their minds and to make normal, as it can be told, normal humans and not that gels. Remember the first sketches.
Yeah, I think if they had gone with the gels, it wouldn't, like, we wouldn't have anything, the audience wouldn't have anything to connect to, because what would we have any empathy for supposedly aliens? Who, you know, we wouldn't have any empathy for them. And then I think at the end of the movie they were going to have them as aliens, but then they would reveal them as humans, kind of like a Planet of the Apes type of thing. But I'm glad they went with the straight up humans too.
I love the use of this song. It's La Vie en Rose, I think. Like, the very classical French love song.
Not my favorite, though.
Yeah?
My favorite song from the movie is, I think, Define Dancing. Then I like that First Date, and it appears a bit later, and then Down to Earth, of course. And
do you guys have any favorite pieces of music in the film?
I like the ending of the First Date. I like that style of music.
I like Define Dancing, and Eve.
I use Define Dancing as my alarm in the morning.
Oh, wow. That's a nice way to wake up. Is there any reason why you like Define Dancing, guys?
It's very soothing.
Yeah, it's very beautiful. I think it's my most favorite track on the soundtrack too. I guess I also like Put On Your Sunday Clothes and maybe what do you call it?
What's that? What was that?
Yeah, I think a lot of people like Define Dancing. When I first listened to it, I thought it was okay, but a bit overrated, but then I listened to it more. And it's really a beautiful. I think that should have been, I don't know what the rules are, but I think it should have been, it's a superior song, more so than Down to Earth. But yeah.
We're talking about that you wish that Down to Earth could have got the Oscar for it, or what?
No, I was just saying that I like Define Dancing more than Down to Earth, and I wish that Define Dancing could have been nominated for an Oscar instead of Down to Earth.
I like that it only takes a moment. It's I watched Hello Dolly, and the whole thing is a good song. Can't get off it from my mind.
Yeah, what did you think of Hello Dolly?
I like it. It's a classical movie, and not many people are fond of musical. But I liked it. It was just a classical music, not like our rock camps and high school musicals. I have seen a bit of them. I didn't like them. And Hello Dolly is a rather good movie. It's interesting. It has a plot. And, it has an idea, and I liked it.
Did you say that you saw it, Andre?
Oh, yeah, I did. I can sort of, like, see the significance of it in Wally's context. Because, like, you know, like, what are the names? Barnaby and Cornelius? Wally kind of, like, never went outside of his own little world. I mean, it's not possible for him anyway. And, you know, he has to go to, like, a foreign land, I guess, to, like, sort of chase down his dreams and his love. And the song "It Only Takes a Moment" was also kind of, I guess, relevant because, you know, it really did sort of like it was love at first sight for Wally, but I guess not really for Eve. But yeah, you know, it was a good decision made by Mr. Stanton to use "Hello Dolly" in Wally.
So we are a bit far from the main topic. Here we, it's my one of my favorite episodes when Wally shows Eve different knickknacks which he collected, like her expression when she's playing with bubble wrap and that egg beater, especially with the egg beater.
Yeah, that always gets a good laugh. Wally's a pretty good dancer. I think he learnt dancing from Hello Dolly. Yeah, there's, have you guys seen a, 1980s movie called Short Circuit?
Sorry, what?
There's a 1980s movie that my sister and I used to love when we were little called Short Circuit, and, a lot of people say that Wally reminds them of Johnny Five. Which is the main character. And in Short Circuit, there's a, much like Wally repairs himself, there's a scene in the back of a truck where Johnny Five repairs himself. And, Andrew Stanton said that he saw Short Circuit in the 80s, but he didn't watch it before making Wally and as an inspiration. But there's a lot of things about Wally that I can see in Johnny Five and Short Circuit, but Wally is a better film, trust me.
I haven't seen this film.
I've heard of it, but I haven't seen it. But I guess you can find a lot of similarities with the eyes and claws and all that, I guess.
So, and now is the, I see, now you finds the plant, the flora, and I started to understand the whole thing from very this moment, what Eve was built for and what she was looking for, when this sign is blinking.
I think it all comes together. At this moment, everyone's light bulb goes off in their head. But that music just there when Eve gets given the plant, that would have to be the most fun part of the whole film if you're in an orchestra.
And do you like how Eve looks in a fold way? In a folded? Because Wally falls into a box and he looks very funny when folded. And I don't like, I don't personally like the look of folded Eve. And she's turned off.
Yeah, she just looks a bit like an egg.
With some black spot.
Yeah. this is First Date. I've always thought this sounds like elevator music or lovey-dovey elevator music or music you would hear while you're shopping in a department store, but it's really nice and happy.
Just something like, I don't know, chill out or something like that style.
Yeah.
I like this style. Especially the end of the music, that flute sound. You know, I tried to produce some music and that's why I'm not indifferent to that different pieces of music and techniques. Oh.
He's been playing 1,999 rounds of Pong. That's a lot.
What I was expecting for that you will turn on when she sees that Wallace is trying to play Pong with her.
It's probably just the sort of thing, if he hopes and if he acts like she's awake, then maybe it will come true, or he doesn't quite want to believe that she's not responsive anymore.
The most dramatic thing, I think, that he got some piece of happiness, and that lasted for just so a short time. And now he has no friends and no one he can interact with again. He is lonely again. It's a bad feeling.
Yeah, it's quite sad, really.
It's also, yeah, it is sad. And before he met Eve, it wasn't that bad. He was still lonely and he still wanted a companion. But once he had found love, he didn't want it. He didn't want to be alone ever again.
Yeah, I like that bit of symbolism with the what do you call it, the lighter flame going out, because it sort of like symbolized that, you know, his love could have come to an end if he, you know, didn't do something about it.
How do you think?
Yeah,
how much time does it last? Everything. That the trip to Axiom, the trip back. Well, the trip back is 10 seconds or the whole adventure. How much time does it take?
Well, yeah, I guess nothing lasts forever, though.
I think it would be the time frame of the movie, a few days or a week. I'm not sure.
So, I think that there is a day on Axiom, one day, one night, and one morning, and then a few seconds to come back. But how much it takes to have a trip from Earth to Axiom?
Probably an hour or so. I suppose because it's like a montage, we don't really get a good idea. This has got to be one of the most visually beautiful scenes. It's one of the classic moments in the movie.
So, I think that children who are the main auditory for cartoons, they won't think about how much time it lasted. even the adult cartoons, I mean, that serious cartoons with a lot of sense in them, they're primarily made for children. So, I mean, in the way the children also will love it.
I think the axiom situated in the Kuiper Belt, I'm not sure if that's an actual part of our galaxy or universe, but I'm pretty sure that's where it gets its energy from. That's why it's situated in the cloud there.
I'm not keen on astronomy. I don't know, some nebula. I think that how do they support the gravitation? So you remember when Axiom is never mind. That episode will come a bit later.
I like how all of the Eves are all lined up, and they're all identical, but Wally sees something special in Eve, and she's got the green blinking light on her, but I think that's meant to represent how when you're in love with someone, that could be just like everyone else, and there's nothing particularly special about them, but you only have eyes for them, and you see them as the most unique, interesting person in the world, even when, like I said, I mean, there's nothing really that special about them, it's just you find them special.
Yes, this was the one, you who already knew something, how to pop the bubble wrap.
So now yeah, I suppose that's what.
Mo is hilarious, I think. His movements and one of my favorite characters.
Why is it that you like Mo?
He is little and he is funny. That his expression. I think he's very, and everybody in this movie is very, I don't know how to say that, they have their charisma. Do you have that word? Because we have this word in Ukrainian. Some charming elements that attract.
Yeah, he's really cute too. Peter and Andre, who would you say is your favorite robot in the whole movie, and why?
I'd say Eve, because she has some sort of anti-gravity propulsion system that's really cool.
Oh, well, yeah. I guess I like Wally because like he's the most he's the closest I can relate to in terms of, like he's the most, he's kind of like an ordinary hero kind of person, kind of robot, so, I can relate to him more, but, in terms of character progression, I kind of like, Eve, because she goes through a lot of changes in the movie. Yeah, it's kind of hard to pick because there's like so many, it's like all the characters are good, you know. I mean, you know, Otto is, how do I say this? It's like he's like a conflicted kind of villain, you know? And, you know,
well, there's nothing really that bad about, there's nothing bad about Otto. He's just obeying his directive. And,
he was programmed to obey his directive. And I think if he could, understand what was going on, so he would support Wally and EU and the captain. He could understand. He was just created for obeying rules. And that's his problem. His tragedy.
Yeah. This is, John.
Yeah,
voiced by John Ratzenberger. This is, John. He's, voiced by John Ratzenberger, who does the voice for a voice in every Pixar film.
Huh.
The thing that I like the most about John is the fact that he's got freckles. Because when I was, a kid, I had, a few freckles. Not so much now, but, I think John Lasseter also had freckles. Because, and that's why in every Pixar film they have a few characters with them, like Dory and, Andy and various other characters. So, yeah, I think that's a good representation for the kids. And both good and bad characters have freckles too. So, you know, it's not just the annoying, freckly-faced, red-haired kid, you know.
Does anyone know who voices Mary?
Her voice actress is Kathy Najimy.
Ah.
You know everybody.
I think she might be Australian, but I'm not sure. I think I've seen her in a few Australian films, but don't quote me on that.
I see you're very big fans of Wally. You know, and of Pixar, you know each voice actor and each actor. I'm glad that I remember Andrew Stanton's name and John Lasseter and whom else? Speed Doctor and that's all. And Brad Bird.
Well, as long as you know the director's name, then it's all good.
I like the typing block, this sequence. Wally kind of teaches him to wave.
His typing bot seems very reluctant. He's so slow.
Yeah, he types on a binary keyboard.
Yeah.
It's only got zeros and ones for keys.
Yeah, I wonder why you need such a big keyboard when you've only got two sort of symbols on it.
And why did they need the typing bot? They could enter the text manually. So the text would simply appear from something. From somewhere.
Yeah. Doesn't really make sense.
I think they added it in order to show that the presence of Wally on the X changes everything. And everything on this ship.
With the thing that's different about Wally, the character, is that Wally is the only character main character in a Pixar film who doesn't change. Usually you have a Pixar character going through some sort of change all throughout the movie, and at the end they're different from in the beginning. But Wally essentially changes and affects the lives of everyone around him, but he doesn't. He's really the same character as he was at the beginning of the movie, as at the end.
I think that was their time to show that one little creature can change everything around him. One little person can change the world. Like chaos theory. Something like that. My friends, they wonder when the plant was replaced.
Oh, I think it was during the part where Wally drops out of the floor, and he was in the captain's room.
I think the same, that when we lost the focus on Gopher and Otto. That time, they replaced the plant.
It kind of says a lot when the captain mentioned that the one thing that he can do on this ship is to give morning announcements. I guess, like, he has become sort of obsolete in, you know, the running of the ship. Otto does all the work for him.
And the only sort of real job he does is something that I suppose could be done. They could get a program to do it, but they probably just give the captain that job to make it seem as if he's got responsibility, but he really doesn't. It's really Otto that's controlling the whole operation.
But it kind of shows that, you know, he has... It really demonstrates his character of having, you know, personal initiative and all that, I guess, pretty early on.
See, the captain still knows about his duties because he could rely the morning announcements on Otto too. He could record himself for several times and then order Otto to show that announcements each morning.
Yeah, I guess he could have done that.
But he's doing that announcements on himself, so...
Yeah, it shows a lot about his personality, huh?
Shows that he wants to do something, but he is ordered to rely on Otto. How many captains there were before him? Six or five or six or seven? He hasn't lost his touch, I think.
I think if there are only five, I read somewhere that the lifespan of each captain is 130 years old, because you only see like five captains or something.
Yes, their lives are very long. Maybe in space the time is a bit distorted. Everything is relative, you know.
The joke about the humans losing their bones and their bone density always gets a big laugh in the cinema when I saw it. Do you think if you had to say which company in the world would be a B&L type company, do you guys have any company in mind that could be B&L, like take over the government?
Disney.
Disney. Wow.
They already have lost. They are mother company, so they already got a lot of smaller companies in them. So they can become a conglomeration. Then, we don't have this store, but I know you have, the Americans have Walmart.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. either Walmart or Microsoft.
Oh, Microsoft. Microsoft is losing its positions.
I think if somehow Walmart acquired lots of other avenues, do they have gas stations in Walmart too? I mean, does Walmart company own gas stations and stuff?
I think that there's a subsidiary of Walmart called Sam's Club, and they do have gas stations, but Walmart itself doesn't.
Yeah, I think if, well, that's a start. I mean, hopefully they don't get into the banking business too. I think it's a bit scary, though, how governments, I mean, corporations can affect governments, sort of thing, and affect legislation, and yeah, it's a bit scary to me.
Yeah. And we still have some... some piece of this, then oil, gas, the countries which produce most oil and most gas, they control the situation in the whole world.
That's Sigourney Weaver's voice as the ship's computer.
Andrew Stanton picked her because he was a big fan of Alien and Aliens. I think she does a really good job. I really like her voice work.
Yeah, I think she did another voice look for a Futurama episode or something. She also voiced the ship's computer in that episode.
Yeah, I saw that episode. And they
did
like the whole... they did like the whole computer... the ship taking over the... sort of disobeying its directive and trying to take control and everything, which is a bit like Wall-E too, but yeah.
What a coincidence.
Sorry?
Sorry, I just said what a coincidence.
A lot of films and movies do the whole 2001 references and everything. I can see this robot, or the robot that was carrying, was named Mover, M-U-V-R, and
yes.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of names.
We and Go.
For the robots.
One Go. Vacuum. Hands.
Pretty. She's my fave.
Huh?
What are your favorite, reject bots? Which ones are your favorite?
I like Hans.
Yeah, I like Van Gogh.
I like Van Gogh too.
I like Pretty because she's just, I mean, just her phrases are so, I mean, because she doesn't really differentiate between who she says her phrases to. I just find that hilarious. Is there any reason why you guys like Van Gogh so much?
Well, the paint that is has really bright colors, and he leaves a trail wherever he goes.
I guess because he's the first robot to follow Wall-E in his philosophy. I guess he was the one who hummed put on your Sunday clothes in the climax. So. Yeah, I like him and the fact that he paints.
Yeah. For the longest time, I used to think that the reject bots were called rejecto bots, and I have no idea where I got that from.
I like Hans, because who doesn't like paranoid robots?
Yeah, I think if I was going to own a robot, I would have Hans, because he could give me a massage or something.
Yeah, he can give you a massage, especially that one.
But it might be...
Who is a reject bot?
Well, if I get the reject version of Hans, it might be a bit dangerous. He could end up knocking me out or something.
I can imagine it. But that seems that reject bots are not reject bots. They simply also have developed some personality. That makes them reject bots. They are not running on that paths. They are having a free run and they reach. So, rock. They reject the rules that are set on Axiom. Maybe because they have some inner feelings that touch them from inside. So, they have malfunction, but they also have some piece of personality.
Yeah, it's the whole because they don't obey their directive or they're malfunctioning a bit. I like how that's what creates their personality. Their whole because they are defective, that's what makes them so appealing.
I can bet you have never experienced such strange things that were going with her. I think that it was her first time that someone gets onto the ship, and when she is placed into the repair ward, it was her first experience.
Yeah, she's, Wally seems to make everything go a bit wrong for Eve, and he's a bit of a hassle for her.
I don't get this part why Gopher didn't, like, notice Wally and Eve when, I don't know, when he was, like, punching in the numbers or something. I guess he was too preoccupied
exactly
or something.
Yeah, they're not exactly
quiet. They are
maybe
noticeable.
He doesn't have ears.
But he had some eyes, probably, so he had to navigate somehow. And Eve and Wally are very noticeable there. So they're not transparent.
I think it might be, you know how like in a cartoon, or it, like you can do a whisper, but it's a stage whisper, and you can be talking really loud, but as long as you have your hand near your mouth, then the other person doesn't hear you, even if you're talking really loud. Maybe it's something like that.
Or maybe the visible things are not as visible as we think.
I really like Ben Burtt's sound design, particularly when he's pulling the lever, Wally.
Yes, and I don't understand why they gave so many Oscars to that slum scum dogs millionaire.
Yeah,
I think they should have given many Oscars to Wally. At least Kung Fu Panda hasn't received anything.
Yeah, it was kind of biased. I wish that, you know, they had got at least like sound editing or sound mixing. But yeah, it was rigged, I think, from the start.
I remember that Slumdog's Millionaire had a lot of outdated sound samples. For example, one piece of music was previously used in my friend's track. He was also making some music tracks. And he stole the idea, and they have stolen the idea, so probably they shouldn't have got the award for the best sound. I mean, that millionaire.
That's probably my favorite moment in the whole film, when Eve saps Wally and then he gets shocked. It's just so sweet.
You could see his battery levels rise in his heartbeat. Sigh.
Yeah.
You were going to say something, Acton?
I'd like to say that this moment defined dancing. It's very romantic, and I remember watching it for the third time. It was a disaster for me, watching it for the third time. It touched me so hard that I thought that I'm the most lonely person in the world.
Yeah, it's beautiful, huh?
Even if a robot can love and be loved, so I think it's very dramatical, and it has a very powerful message. So you remember one of my drawings, they gave us an exam. So even if robots can love, and not every person nowadays can love, not every person. That means something, that something has changed, and we have to do something with that. So that brought up some utter thoughts and feelings in. And now the captain's enthusiastic, he speaks enthusiastically about the Earth, that they can grow pizza plants and vegetable plants. They have never seen that anything that is growing from the soil. They have never seen it on the axiom, because, and I don't know, it's hard to explain, but when you see something is growing, you understand it's just an enormous power of some good feelings. They have never seen this. They understand how it is important to grow something, to bring life to something, and to be moral. They have lost their moral on the axiom. They were too dependent on computer technologies. So it's a very dramatic moment.